House will come to order. Members will please take their seats. All visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant of Arms will close the door. Members and visitors will please silence all cell phones. The prayer tonight will be offered by Representative Justin Burr. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand and remain standing for our Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Burr.
Thanks, sir. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be present in this place and for the honor to serve the citizens of North Carolina as we come together for what we hope will be the last full week of session to close out the biennium. We humbly ask for your guidance and your wisdom in our deliberations on important issues affecting the people of our state. I pray that through your guiding hands that we do what is pleasing and right in your sight. Last, but most importantly, I pray that you will be with each and every citizen of our state who is serving in the military, and especially those who are still in harm's way and their family. Lord, I'd also ask that you be with some of our neighbors to the south, the South Carolina National Guardsmen who were killed or injured in Afghanistan last week. Please watch over those three families suffering from this tragic loss and those five men who were wounded in the attack and their families, including my own. I pray for your healing and comfort for all those soldiers and for those families. In Jesus' name, my Savior, amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for Thursday, June the 21st, 2012, has been examined and found to be correct. I move its approval as written.
Representative Moore moves that the journal for June 21st be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. Chapter bills will be noted.
Mr. Speaker.
Motion. Representative Moore is recognized.
For a motion pertaining to tonight's calendar.
House will come to order for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, move that Senate Bill 803, short title, Retirement Administrative Changes, be removed from today's calendar and calendar tomorrow.
Without objection.
And for two, re-referral.
So ordered. The gentleman has the floor.
House Bill 958, short title is North Carolina Zoo Public-Private Partnership. Move that bill be removed from the calendar and refer to the Committee on Rules.
Without objection. So ordered.
And actually two more. Senate Bill 447, short title, Rewrite Landscape Contractor Laws, that bill be removed from the calendar and referred to the Committee on Commerce.
Without objection. So ordered.
And Senate Bill 472, short title, Kinston Public Enterprises, be removed from the calendar and referred to the Committee on Rules.
Without objection. So ordered. Members, upon motion of our members from Rowan and Cabarrus Counties, Representative Steen, Johnson, Warren, and Pittman, the Chair is happy to extend the courtesy of the gallery to the Rowan County Commissioner Carl Ford and his wife Angela. Please stand and welcome to the North Carolina House of Representatives. Members, our nurse of the day is Mrs. Kathy Green from Granite Falls, North Carolina. Nurse Green, thank you for your service today at the North Carolina General Assembly. Thank you very much. Committee reports. Representative Dockham, Committee on Insurance. Clerk will read.
Representative Dockham, Chair of the Committee on Insurance. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 836, a bill to adopt an act to improve the rate making process by requiring the Department of Insurance to accept public comment on all property insurance and recommended by Legislative Research Commission's Committee on Property Insurance Rate Making Favor Report.
Calendar.
Any more reports?
Absolutely.
Second.
After the face of the grandchildren, I'll begin it to be. I know. And they come calling my bed at 6 p.m. You don't want the breath to hear something about that. They need to know. They need to know.
Yep. Ratifications of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The Raleigh Clerk reports following bill due to ratify presentation. Governor, House Bill 512, an act to amend laws. Governor, rendering plants in operation requires certification of grease ownership by collectors of waste kitchen grease and to create animal criminal penalties related to waste kitchen grease.
Message from the Senate. House will come to order. Calendar. Members, because of visitors that we have in the gallery, we're going to skip the resolutions first. House Joint Resolution 1224. The clerk will read.
House Joint Resolution 1224, joint resolution honoring the life and memory of William Manor Bill Ives, former member of the General Assembly. The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
House will be at ease. The clerk will read House Joint Resolution 1224 in its entirety, and the House will come to order. Members, take their seats.
A joint resolution honoring the life and memory of William Manor Bill Ives, former member of the General Assembly. Whereas William Manor Bill Ives was born on September the 4th, 1933, in Jacksonville, Florida, to Anson Jesse Ives and Catherine Ellis Ives, and whereas Bill Ives graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in 1951 and earned a bachelor's degree in political science from the University of Florida in 1954, and whereas Bill Ives served as sergeant in the United States Army from 1954 until 1956 in Korea, and whereas after serving in the Army, Bill Ives taught civics at Lakeshore Junior High School, and whereas in 1966, Bill Ives moved his family to Brevard, North Carolina, where he assumed ownership of the Keystone Camp for Girls. Whereas after completing courses at Blue Ridge Community College, Bill Ives later became a licensed general contractor, an electrical contractor, and a plumbing and heating contractor. And whereas Bill Ives served as treasurer of the Transylvania Republican Party from 1977 to 1978, chair of the Transylvania Republican Party from 1979 to 1980, and chair of the Transylvania County Board of Commissioners from 1972 to 1976, and from 1980 to 1984. And whereas Bill Ives was elected to the General Assembly in 1992 and went on to serve three terms in the House of Representatives from 1993 to 1998. And whereas during his tenure in the General Assembly, Bill Ives served as chair of the Human Resources Subcommittee on Families, as co-chair of the Appropriations Subcommittee on General Government, and as a member of several other committees, including Education, Human Resources, Insurance, and State Government. And whereas Bill Ives was an active member of his community working with Habitat for Humanity and serving as chair of the Land and Sky Council of Governments, president of the Brevard Transylvania Chamber of Commerce, president of the Transylvania Historic Society, chair of the board of the Transylvania Vocational Services, and co-chair of the Building Committee for the Transylvania Christian Ministry Sharing House, and is a member of the Board of Directors of the North Carolina County Commissioners Association, as trustee of the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics, and as chair of the Transylvania County Board of Equalization and Review. And whereas Bill Ives was honored with the Esther Wesley Award, which is awarded to a person who consistently devotes himself to the community, by the Brevard Transylvania Chamber of Commerce, the Library Champion Award from the North Carolina Public Library Directors Association, and a Lifetime Services Award from the Transylvania Vocational Services. And whereas Bill Ives was a member of St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Brevard, where he served on the vestry and as Sunday school teacher and warden. And whereas Bill Ives died on April the 20th, 2011, at age of 77. And whereas Bill Ives was preceded in death by his first wife, Sarah Howe Ives, and whereas Bill Ives is survived by his wife, Ann Sanders Ives, a daughter, Paige Ives Limmel, and husband, Dr. Frank Stephen Limmel, a son, Anson Bradley Ives, and wife, Deborah Dickenhuth Ives, grandchildren, Catherine Ellis Limmel, Hannah Cecile Limmel, and Samuel Ives Limmel, Lawton Frederick Ives, and Emily Garnett Ives, and his sister, Nordane Ives Sellers. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives, the Senate concurring. Section 1, the General Assembly honors the memory of William Manor Bill Ives and expresses his appreciation of the service he rendered to Transylvania County, the state, and the nation. Section 2, the General Assembly extends its sympathy to the family of William Manor Bill Ives for the loss of a beloved family member. Section 3, the Secretary of State shall transmit a certified copy of this resolution to the family of William Manor Bill Ives. Section 4, this resolution is effective upon ratification.
Representative Wallen from Transylvania County is recognized to explain the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Ives shaped Transylvania County, the mountain region, and the state of North Carolina in many good ways. Bill was all about fixing things and solving problems. He used his builder skills, he was a builder, to standardize the state's building codes when he was here. He used his teaching skills, he was a teacher, to improve education. He used his love of reading to improve our state library system. Bill conducted county business and state business at our local hardware store in Brevard. You would find him there in his paint-splattered clothes, work clothes, and conducting business in the small aisles, talking to people about issues and what needed to be done to make the state and the county a better place for people. Bill Ives was always taking time to listen to the problems of the people of our state and our county. On a glorious October day in 1997, I was attending a barbecue at Camp Keystone when Bill Ives took me aside and asked me if I would run for his House seat. He told me he had decided not to run again, but he would not make that announcement until I agreed to run for the seat. It was something I had never thought about until that day, and it took me a few weeks to make up my mind. But I was overcome that he had that much, he really thought that much of me that I could fill his shoes because he was so well known and so well liked in our county and all across the state. Bill taught me ways to solve problems. One hot July day, Bill invited me to ride way up in the mountains, in the hills, to visit a notorious person, Ellie Mae. Miss Ellie Mae was about 85 years old. She weighed around 60 pounds, and she had a rifle that was taller than she stood. She had chased off the North Carolina Department of Transportation. She had chased off the sheriff and several deputies. She had a big axe to grind with the State Department of Transportation. So Bill was up there. He wanted to go up there. He had talked with her before, and he wanted me to meet her because he knew this was an issue that was going to continue under my watch in the General Assembly. Well, we went up to, on the old porch, and there was a cowbell near the door, and we rang the cowbell, and Miss Ellie came to the door, and she invited us to sit in the rockers on her porch. And we sat there rocking for most of the afternoon. And all the while, I, and I think Bill too, were somewhat distracted by these lush vines that grew all across the front of the porch, giving us a nice shade from the hot sun and fluttering in the breeze. Because on these vines was lots of butter beans ready to be picked. And she noticed this, and she said to us after a while, "Here's some bags. Why don't you pick some butter beans to take home with you?" And we did. And that began a friendship. And what it taught me was something Bill Ives did frequently. He knew that when you needed to solve a serious problem, and this was a very serious problem, it starts off with making friends. Bill taught me sometimes it's better to take your time with problems like this. And I believe our law enforcement people and the DOT, who finally sent liaisons up there to meet with her, understood that this is what was needed in that case. Bill invited me to visit the General Assembly. This was after I had been elected and was going to be coming here. And it was during the, I guess I'd won a primary, but I wasn't coming, wasn't sure yet. But Bill invited me to come, and we drove down here on a Monday afternoon. Our first stop was in Henderson County at a farm, Carolina Roses. Now, I'm sure some people are still here who remember the roses. Bill bought dozens of roses in many colors, and he put them in buckets of ice water in the back of his car, and we drove down here. And when we arrived, Bill took the roses and gave a dozen to each receptionist in each of our staff divisions. He introduced me to them, and he told me that they were the most important people in the General Assembly. It was a wonderful way to introduce me to these people. He also brought some of the legislative assistants, and I found out that every Monday he brought dozens of roses, and he gave them out all around the General Assembly. Bill Ives was a gracious, thoughtful man. He was a great teacher. He was a good friend. For these reasons and many more, I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Alexander from Mecklenburg is recognized to comment on the resolution.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Indeed, Representative Bill Ives gave a lot to this institution. One of the things I remember about what he did here in particular was anytime he made a mistake, he was always the first one to be apologetic. And he was also, as Representative Wallen has said, was very gracious. But I'd like to tell you some other things about Representative Ives. Representative Ives and I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. Our mothers were close friends, and my godmother was especially a very good friend of his mother. Being from Florida, of course, it was very hot back in those days, no air conditioning, and so many times people would come to the mountains of North Carolina for the summer. And so there were several camps that would come to Jacksonville, and they would vie for people to come and be campers. And one of the camps was Keystone Camp for Girls. I went to Keystone Camp. The treetops, I checked with the family to be sure treetops is still there. That was the cabin that I lived in for several summers. I was only allowed to go for 1 month, but most of the people were able to go for 2 months. But I loved my month there. Now, I never realized that I would necessarily see this young man who was at the camp in any other kind of setting. But when I came in 93, I looked at the list of new representatives, and there was someone named Bill Ives. And I thought, There has just got to be only one Bill Ives. He's from Brevard. It has to be. And surely enough, I went back and I introduced myself and I said, Bill, are you at Keystone Camp? And he said, yes. And I gave him my maiden name and I said, well, I'm Martha Bedell. And we embraced and just right then our friendship flourished one more time. But this is what you need to know about Bill. Bill taught me how to go horseback riding. He was my horseback riding teacher. He also was my archery teacher. I did pretty well in archery. And I was thinking he did riflery, but I'm not really sure. They had all sorts of different things at the camp, a beautiful place in the mountains of North Carolina. And so we had a lot of good laughs from time to time and lots of good memories about what went on during those years. And so to be with him once again and in this particular setting was just amazing. And it was so wonderful to see this person who, as Representative Wallen said, was a teacher, but not just a teacher as an adult, but and of adults, but was one who helped a lot of young people during very vulnerable times, our preteens and teenage years, of learning all sorts of different skills and also being able to enjoy the beauty of the mountains. And if you've never been to Keystone Camp, then you need to go. After Bill retired, I was up in the mountains and decided I would like to go back to camp. And in his very gracious and loving way, he was so pleased that I came, and he walked me around a little bit so I could see. Of course, there have been some changes that have taken place over those years. But this camp has been there for numerous years. His mother ran it, and now his daughter, Paige, and I really regret Paige cannot be with us tonight, but she's there, and she's doing a wonderful job as the camp director, and I have a very close young friend who's gone on to be a camper there and has now been on their staff as a counselor. So Keystone Camp has a very special place in my heart, but the Ives family itself, you all have a very special place in my heart as well. And I'm so glad that so many of you could be here. And to you, my friends in the General Assembly, I commend this resolution to you.
Representative McGrady from Henderson is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, colleagues. Bill Ives was a colleague of mine, but he was not a colleague of mine, and obviously in the House. I moved back to North Carolina to run a summer camp for boys in the late 80s, and at that point in time, Bill was a senior director, having run his camp for many, many years. Bill Ives could jerry-rig anything. I wish I had his mechanical skills. I think his whole camp was jerry-rigged in one way or the other, but he was also somebody that was very much involved in public policy at all stages and a recruiter. And I had a similar experience as Representative Wallen did. Early on, he took me aside and recognized, I guess, in me that, here'd be a good guy to potentially follow me at some point in time, a summer camp director. And, He decided that it was my responsibility to get involved in state government, and at that time, Speaker Brubaker actually appointed me to the Forestry Commission, and was my first experience in government here. The other speakers have really pegged it. He had a great temperament. He was gracious, thoughtful. Always a gentleman, and on those rare occasions when I might disagree with him, we never got disagreeable. A role model for me and a man that I deeply miss, and so I also commend the resolution to all of you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 1224 on the second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the favor, none against. House Joint Resolution 1224 having passed the second reading without objection will be read a third time.
House resolves, Senate concurring.
Further discussion, further debate. Hearing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 1224 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 1224 will be sent to the Senate by special message. Members, coincidentally, over your right shoulder, we wish to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the family members of Bill Ives. Bill Ives' wife, Ann, his son, Brad, and his wife, Deborah, and Bill's granddaughters, Emily Ives and Catherine Lamell. Thank you for your presence here in the General Assembly for this important resolution.
That Senate Bill 133, Modernized Jury List Procedures, be removed from tonight's calendar, recalendered for Tuesday, June 26.
Without objection, so ordered. Committee reports, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Moore and LaRoque chairs the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Resolution 1019, a House resolution honoring the life and memory of Alan Thomas Dixon, business leader. Recommendation that it be adopted.
Without objection, it will be placed on the counter for immediate consideration. House Resolution 1019, the clerk will read.
A House resolution honoring the life and memory of Alan Thomas Dixon, business leader. The House resolves, whereas Alan Thomas Dixon was born April 3, 1931 in Charlotte to Rush S. Dixon and Lake Simpson Dixon, and whereas Alan Thompson Dixon graduated from Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and earned a B.S. degree in textiles from North Carolina State University in 1953, and an MBA degree from Harvard University in 1955. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon spent 2 years in the United States Army before returning to Charlotte and working for American and Eford Mills. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon held a number of positions at American and Eford Mills and became the company's president in 1967. And whereas in 1968, Alan Thomas Dixon and his brother Stuart founded Riddick Corporation, and whereas Riddick Corporation purchased the Harris Teeter grocery chain in 1969, and as the company's holdings grew, the corporation became a Fortune 500 company. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon served as president of Riddick Corporation and later as the board chair until his retirement in 2010. Whereas Alan Thomas Dixon served as president of the North Carolina Textile Foundation, the first president of the American Yarn Spinners Association, and is a director of Combed Yarn Spinners Association and the North Carolina Textile Manufacturers Association. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon was a member of the board of directors of the Bank of America, Lance, Bassett Furniture Industries, Sunoco Products, and Royal & Son Alliance Insurance. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon distinguished himself in his community as a founding trustee of the Charlotte Latin School and a trustee of the Central Piedmont Community College, as a member of the Foundation for the Carolinas, the Arts and Science Council, the Mint Museum, and the Presbyterian Hospital Foundation. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon served as a trustee of the Morehead Cain Scholarship Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill from 1964 to 2006. and during that time served as chair for 21 years. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon also helped to establish the U.S. National Whitewater Center on the Catawba River and contributed to the development of UNC Nutrition Research Institute in Kannapolis. And whereas among his many honors and recognitions, Alan Thomas Dixon received the William Richardson Davy Award from the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in 2006, the Distinguished Alumnus Award from the Macaulay School in 1997, the Watauga Medal in 1996, and the College of Textiles Distinguished Alumnus Award in 1993 from North Carolina State University, and was granted an honorary degree from North Carolina State University in 2001. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon was elected to the North Carolina Business Hall of Fame in 2002, whereas Alan Thomas Dixon was a faithful member of Christ's Episcopal Church in Charlotte, whereas Alan Thomas Dixon died on May the 3rd, 2012, at the age of 81. And whereas Alan Thomas Dixon was preceded in death by his first wife, Lindsay Moorhead Dixon, whereas Alan Thomas Dixon is survived by his wife of 20 years, Mary Ann Dixon, his stepdaughter Chase Avery Wood, and her husband Yubi, and their children Katie and Hubert, his stepson Chris Avery, his wife Beth, and their children Meg and O'Neill, and his siblings Stuart Dixon, Barbara Scott, and Jane Williamson. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives. Section 1, the House of Representatives honors the memory of Alan Thomas Dixon, a successful businessman, entrepreneur, and citizen who made great contributions to his industry, community, state, and nation. Section 2, the House of Representatives extends its sympathy to the family of Alan Thomas Dixon for the loss of a beloved family member. Section 3, the principal clerk shall transmit a certified copy of this resolution to the family of Alan Thomas Dixon. Section 4, this resolution is effective upon adoption.
Representative Current from Gaston is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and fellow members of the House. A little history is in order, I'm sure, to understand why this old Dennis from Gastonia is proposing this resolution of such a distinguished man. Alan Dixon's mother was a Simpson from Gaston County. They had a double wedding, a very close friend of mine's parents, who I grew up with. He had two beautiful cousins that lived in my neighborhood, and I always enjoyed visiting them. If I didn't even get the chance to see them, their mother always had something nice baked in her kitchen for me. Also, his father, Rush Dixon, started his business in Gastonia in 1919, buying and selling textile stocks at a very tough time in our history. The company prospered, however, and served during a very tough economic time, and eventually they moved over to Charlotte. The summer of 1951, I was cordially accepted at NC State College at that time, and during the Korean War, and I joined the Air Force ROTC so I could finish my college career at NC State. The next fall, it was my privilege to be invited to pledge a fraternity entitled the Kappa Sigma Fraternity. Alan Dixon had been a member of that fraternity for a couple of years, and he served as president. The fraternity house is down here on the corner of Clark and Gardner, and I rode by it a few weeks ago, and amazingly, it looks wonderful. First experience with Alan's leadership and persuasive abilities concerned my dress code. I kind of came to college a little bit like a boy that liked to dance or shag down at Myrtle Beach. I had long blonde peroxided hair and other zoot suit pants and so forth, and Alan did not think that was appropriate for a student at NC State, especially one that was going to be a Kappa Sig. So he took it upon himself to dress me what he used to call cosmopolitanly, or COS. 60 years later, you will see that I'm still wearing button-down Oxford shirts that he told me that I needed to wear. My gray hair is not peroxided, obviously. One thing they had, and it's short, one thing they had over there was, or they expected us to use or carry with us, were these green paddles. The Paternity Brothers believed in corporal punishment when necessary, unlike today, but Alan used to enjoy laughing about the fun he had, and the Dean Barnhart, I think, will attest to the fact he used to discuss his fraternity days and the co-ed days and all. Went back when the 42nd Street Oyster Bar was just a wooden shack with sawdust floors, and that Everett Case was beginning to play a little basketball that brought a lot of notice to NC State at the brand new Reynolds Coliseum. One cannot talk about Alan Dixon without mentioning his devoted brother, Stuart. It is well known that these two did not agree from the time they were young boys until they stayed in business all those years together. They would argue on almost any issue, whether it be business policy, politics, education, or whatever. It was Davidson versus NC State just about every time. Much good evolved, however, from this brotherly competition, as evidenced by Allen's devotion to Presbyterian Hospital in Charlotte, and he was a party to its greatness that we know today. Stuart, on the other hand, was a mentor for the other hospital in Charlotte, and it was through his efforts that Carolina Medical became one of the foremost teaching institutions in America that did not have a university associated directly with it. Their class health companies and authorities, as you well know. Not mentioned in Allen's 4 decades of service, in the resolution was his 4 decades of service to Lindell. And he did a lot of good things for Lindell, one of the Carolina shining gems in this whole state. This past February, as mentioned briefly, the Dixon Foundation and Harris Teeter Foundation went together, and they completed a distinguished professorship to genetics and nutrition and how they work together. This biotech work will be done in Kannapolis at the center there, and surely this investment will bring a lot of benefits to the world in all likelihood. There's no one way that you can estimate the countless people who have and will be touched by the life of Alan Dixon. The beautiful food stores, if you've had the opportunity to bring so much to so many tables. The beauty and elegance of the city of Charlotte. When you're there for a football game, just take a look at this fine city. It evolved from the minds of a lot of great business leaders, and Alan sat at the table with them on most occasions. Just think of the minds that the Moorhead Foundation has affected positively and all that it has brought opportunity to men of great mental capacity. What would we do around here without Jerry Cohen? He was a Moorhead Fellowship recipient. So, one of the important things, just think of the skills that come from the Whitewater Center. And I really, if you haven't been there, go there, and you will be amazed at the thrills and excitement that are at the Whitewater Center on the Catawba River. Think about the number of patients that will be at the Dixon Tower there to receive some of the most outstanding heart work that can be done. Think of Presbyterian Hospital, where yours truly received his sight for a few more years. Alan Dixon was never more than a phone call away, unless he was off hunting or somewhere trying to catch trout with his fly rod at some unique place in this world. He was always there with an open ear to listen, to advise, to counsel. One day was a sad day for me, and I called to ask Alan some advice, and Mary Ann answered the phone and said he had just received the diagnosis of small cell lung cancer. He fought this disease courageously, and he faced this adversary with the dignity and determination that he always demonstrated. It's sad that he has left this earthly life, and I know I do not have the words to adequately thank him for all the contributions he made. Dr. Richard Rankin, who is a headmaster of Gaston Day School, sent this to me, and I will close by quoting him. Alan Dixon was a consummate North Carolina citizen who directed his family business enterprises to create thousands of jobs, a multitude of great products and services for his customers. He used his business successes in support of higher education, things like his devotion to the State University and the U.S. National Whitewater Center, and many other important state causes. Alan's life was a model of integrity, fair competition, and dedication to North Carolina's vital concerns and interests. And his interest, he worked hard, he thought big, he gave generously, and all I can say is that he set a standard of excellence that each one of us should always aspire to. Mr. Speaker, I commend this resolution without reservation.
Representative Carney from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I first met Alan Dixon when I was elected to the County Commission. He reached out to me right away, as a good businessman would do, getting to know the newly elected local officials that he did not know, but he indeed did know each and every one of the officials that were elected, or he made it his business to get to know them. I just briefly wanted to speak to the statue of the man that you are honoring tonight, to put him in a list of names of other leaders that you may have heard of in Charlotte. Because when people remember past leaders that helped shape our city, the city of Charlotte, and indeed our state, I would put Alan Dixon right there along with many other people. I would put him there with names like Hugh McCall, Bill Lee, John Belk, Harvey Gantt, Bill Grigg, Ed Crutchfield. He reached across all lines, and as Parks Helms, a former member of this House, said to me about Alan Dixon, he said Alan Dixon was instrumental in creating the city of Charlotte that we know today. I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Samuelson from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you. As you've already heard some of my colleagues say, his name may not be as well known outside of Charlotte, but I was going to concur that Alan Dixon is up there with Hugh McCall and John Belk and others. When you think about people who have built our state's great companies and communities, and as such, I'm honored to be able to stand and speak on this resolution. Through the Ruddock Corporation, which he founded with his brother Stuart, Alan grew American and Eford into a textile powerhouse that has withstood the monumental difficulties that have crushed so many other companies. As a direct result of his foresight, American and Eford remains one of the world's largest textile manufacturers and distributors today, and it is still headquartered in Mount Holly, North Carolina. With Harris Teeter, headquartered in Matthews, North Carolina, Alan Dixon and his family built one of the finest grocery store chains in the country, where I am a VIC member, going from 32 stores in 1969 to 200-plus stores today. But when Alan was not working to create and sustain these legacy businesses, he was giving his support and expertise to strengthening so many of North Carolina's greatest institutions and nonprofits. To name a few, his alma mater, NC State, is a Carolina grad, I can acknowledge that, the Morehead Cain Scholarship Program at UNC, and more recently the U.S. National Whitewater Center, which I had a hand in helping with when I was a county commissioner, and I believe so did Representative Carney. On a daily basis, we can witness the positive influence that Alan Dixon's life has had on North Carolina. So it is with great pride that tonight I wholeheartedly endorse this resolution honoring one of my hometown's titans of industry and community leader, Alan Dixon.
Representative Alexander from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I think the words that I might use for Alan Dixon is a gentle giant. a person who did so much for our community in such a very quiet way. And our paths did cross from time to time. But more importantly, he and his family and those who surround him have helped to make Charlotte-Mecklenburg what it is. And they did it in such a way, in such a quiet way, that really makes you very proud to be from a city where you have people who really respect and want quality of life for everyone who's there, be it in the area of education, be it in the area of health care, be it in the area of business. And so I commend, along with my colleagues, this resolution to you. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Resolution 1019 on its second reading. All those in favor of the resolution will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 112 having voted in favor, none against. House Resolution 1019 having passed a second reading will be ordered and printed. Members, we have several guests in the gallery tonight, and as I call your name, I'd like for you to stand. From Raleigh, North Carolina, we have Dr. Robert A. Barnhart, Dean Emeritus of the College of Textiles, North Carolina State University. Ms. Suzanne Wiener, Executive Director of the North Carolina Textile Foundation, North Carolina State University. Sherwood Smith, former Chairman, President, and CEO of Carolina Power and Light Company. John F. Long, Jr., Long and Long Consulting, Cary, North Carolina. From Charlotte, we have Ned Hardison, former President of Carolina of Charlotte Pipe and Foundry. John G. Thomas, former President of Thomas Textile. Bailey Patrick of K&L Gates and Bill Williamson, private investor, and Raymond A. and his wife Joanne Bryan Jr., president of T.A. Loving Company of Goldsboro. From Chapel Hill, we have Mrs. Megan Mazaki, associate director of the Moorhead Kane Foundation, and Mrs. Kelly Allman, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations of the Moorhead Kane Foundation. Please rise and let us honor you and welcome you to the North Carolina House of Representatives. Representative Stams recognizes and sent forth the committee report. Clerk will read.
The President of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conference sponsors all the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 105, a bill to entitle an act to increase the penalty for certain second-degree murders to Class B1 felonies. The conference recommend the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Conference for the Senate. Senator Newton, Chair, Senators Ruzer, Jones, Daniel, and Goolsbee, Conference of the House of Representatives, Representative Stam, Chair, Representative Engel, Representative Faircloth, Representative Glazier.
Calendar. Senate Joint Resolution 958, the clerk will read.
A joint resolution honoring the life and memory of James Summers Jim Forrester, Sr., M.D., former member of the General Assembly. The Senate resolves, the House concurring,
House will come to order.
Whereas James Summers Jim Forrester, Sr. was born on January 8, 1937 in Aberdeen, Scotland, to the late James Summers and Agnes Nancy McLennan Forster of Glasgow, Scotland, and whereas after the death of his father, Jim Forster, age 11, and his mother, Nancy, immigrated to the United States, settled in Wilmington, North Carolina with sponsorship, and later applied for and received their citizenship. And whereas Jim Forster graduated from New Hanover High School in Wilmington in 1954, earned his Bachelor of Science degree from Wake Forest University in 1958, graduated from Bowman Gray School of Medicine at Wake Forest University in 1962, and completed his internship at North Carolina Baptist Hospital in 1963, received a master's degree in public health from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in 1978, and was board certified in preventive medicine in 1984. And whereas Jim Forster operated a family medical practice in Stanley, North Carolina for 46 years, he was a member of over 15 professional medical organizations during his career, and he served as the medical director at Bryan Center Nursing Home and Peaks Nursing Home in Gaston County. And whereas Jim Forster was a past board member or president of over 16 community service organizations and received over 17 community service awards during his lifetime, including the Order of the Longleaf Pine and the Jefferson Award for Community Service. And whereas Jim Forster served his county by flying air evacuation in the Vietnam War, served as flight surgeon and performed foreign medical missions in Central America during his military career, he was honored for his service and retired with the rank of Brigadier General with the North Carolina Air National Guard. Jim Forster's illustrious military career spanned 34 years, and he received over 12 awards and medals for his service, including the Legion of Merit Award. And whereas Jim Forster served as a member of the North Carolina Senate from 1991 to 2011, during which time he served as Senate Minority Whip, Deputy Republican Leader of the Senate, Republican Leader of the Senate, Joint Republican Caucus Leader, and in 2011, Deputy President Pro Tem of the Senate. And whereas Jim Forster was a faithful member, deacon, and trustee of the First Baptist Church in Stanley, and whereas Jim Forster will be fondly remembered for his service and integrity, his devotion to his family and community, and his unwavering spirit in defending his country. And whereas Jim Forster died on October the 31st, 2011, at the age of 74, while serving as a member of the North Carolina Senate, he was interred in Arlington National Cemetery on March 26, 2012, with full military honors. And whereas Jim Forster is survived by his wife of 51 years, Mayor Francis All Forster, his three daughters, Wynn Forster Maxwell, and husband Michael C. Maxwell, M.D., Gloria Forster Luciani, and husband Marco Luciani, Mary Page Forster Blaylock, and husband Thomas Blaylock, and his son James Summers Forster Jr., M.D., and his wife Teresa Ford Forster. He is also survived by one sister, Lillian Forster of Glasgow, Scotland, and eight grandchildren, William Henry Forster Maxwell, John David Thomas Maxwell, Mary Martha McLennan Maxwell, Thomas Matthias Luciani, Daniel Lucas Luciani, James Summers Forster III, Amy Elizabeth Forster, and William Tyler Forster. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives concurring, Section 1, the General Assembly honors the life and memory of James Summers Jim Forster, Sr., M.D., and expresses its appreciation for all his accomplishments and for the great service he gave to the citizens of the United States, the state of North Carolina, and the citizens of Catawba, Cleveland, Gaston, Lincoln, Iredell, and Rutherford counties. Section 2, the General Assembly extends its deepest sympathy to the family of James Summers Jim Forster, Sr., for the loss of a beloved family member. Section 3, the Secretary of State shall transmit a certified copy of this resolution to the family of James Summers Jim Forster, Sr.
Section 4. This resolution is effective upon ratification.
Representative Torbett is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I want to take a whole lot of your time this evening. We all knew Dr. Forrester. His life is pretty much summarized in the resolution. To come over here to become an American and to follow the path that many of us have read books about people following. It is absolutely an astounding life. Just to pass a few brief stories and comments, I was Jim's county commissioner, and he was my state senator. We lived about 3/4 mile from each other. And it would always tickle both of us if I would get a call from a constituent that it was a state matter. So I would write down the constituent's issue, and I would call my senator, Dr. Forrester, and say, I've got one for you. He said, good that you called, because I got two for you. And we would swap constituents' issues back and forth until they finally ended up being resolved. And the reason they always ended up being resolved is because Mary Frances Forrester, Jim's wife, made certain they were always resolved. So I really appreciate him. Coming up here, as many of you may or may not know until you read the resolution, Jim was a county commissioner, too, before coming to the General Assembly. When I arrived here, it's a pleasure that when I'd catch him in a cafeteria, that I could sit down and we could just talk about things. And I haven't quite figured out why he often felt this way, but for some reason, he enjoyed coming up here and coming to work because he felt like it was really helping the citizens. I hope I grow and learn to enjoy coming up here as much as he did. So far, it hasn't quite ended up that way. I enjoyed working from home just as he did. The man was so accomplished, and he could speak to you with just the most common tone on the hardest issues. And that just comes from a lifetime of giving, a lifetime of serving. He'd talk about people we'd see in Stanley. He'd talk about giving birth to a child, and that child was now bringing their child back. And then their child. So he's delivering three generations of people. It's a fascinating story. I commend this resolution for you, and I'll end by saying I was honored to be able to attend his internment. And I tell each of y'all in here right now that Jim Forrester rests forever with his eyes on two things he dearly loved that represent our country. One is the Air Force Monument coming out of right by the Pentagon, as it kind of simulates three jets going up into the sky. And just to the left of that is a five-sided building we know as the Pentagon. So he forever rests there, gazing at those with an under nice shade tree. And if you're up there, I trust you look it up and stop by and say hello. And I commend this resolution, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Alexander from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Dr. Forrester was already a senator before I came the term before, but it wasn't too long after I had been here that I had, as many of you probably know, I had a major bout with cancer. And Dr. Forrester always was interested in how I was doing. And even though he and I disagreed on many, many topics, we never were disagreeable. He was always a gentleman, and he always came, and it didn't matter if it was in the cafeteria or whether it was after a committee meeting or whether it was just in the hallway, even to those last days that he was here with us when he looked so tired and we knew that he was not very well himself. But he always had a smile and always said, how are you doing? How are you really doing? I was always amazed that not only he served in this body, and not only was he a physician, but he was an active physician, and that he would go home and on the weekends, he saw his patients. Now, a lot of us go home on the weekends or Thursday nights and Fridays and go to our work, and many of us have demanding work.
But to live that kind of a life when you're having to always look after other people's problems constantly, one problem after another coming into your office, was just always, always amazing to me. I had the opportunity to know his wife, Mary Frances, and also his daughter, Wynn, when she was living in Charlotte. Actually, we went to the same church, and so she was always able to sort of catch up with what was Dad doing here, and I was able to ask how things were with the family. So for a man who had very strong beliefs in what he believed in, he was always able to give me the ability to have the beliefs that I have. And so I commend this resolution to you and to a family. When you think of him coming away, so many of us have the privilege of being born here, but when you choose this country, I think that says a lot about someone. So I commend the resolution to you.
Members, without objection, Rule 12D is extended. Representative Lewis from Harnett is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In her book, The Power of Presence, Christy Hodges writes, "Everyone recognizes leaders with presence. They stand out for their innate ability to command attention and inspire commitment. They use these to build trust as a foundation on which they build their leadership. I had the privilege, as did many of you in here, to serve with Senator Forrester for 4.5 terms. He was a great man. He taught me a lot, and his presence is missed in these halls."
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 958 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine. All those wishing to vote, do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 108 having voted in favor, none against. Senate Joint Resolution 958 has passed the second reading. And without objection, will be read a third time.
Senate resolves, the House concurring.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 958 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 958 will be enrolled. It's the honor of the chair to extend the courtesies of the gallery to his wife, Cynthia, who is here with us today. Please stand and welcome to the North Carolina House of Representatives. House Bill 1138, the clerk will read.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1138, a bill to entitle an act to permit the County of Davidson to utilize design-build method of construction and renovation of county buildings.
Representative Dawkins recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak on the motion.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that the House do concur. The Senate made three small changes in the number of bids that they were requesting and also the number of projects that would be limited under this bill, and they also put a sunset on the act. So I would move that we do concur. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate?
If not, the motion is to concur by Representative Dockham on Senate Committee Substitute on House Bill 1138. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1138, having passed, will be enrolled. Senate Bill 919, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 919, a bill to entitle an act to allow the Carteret County Board of Commissioners to redistrict its residency district for the 2012 primary and general elections. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative McElrath recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is the Senate companion to House Bill 1131 that you passed out of here unanimously. You might remember I stood up and after Representative Sager said this was to make his county legal, this is to make Carteret County legal. They missed their resolution filing date by 9 days back in December. The primary went off without any hitches, so this will make them legal. Thank you so much for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 919 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in favor, none against. Senate Bill 919 having passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 919 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 919 having passed its third reading will be enrolled. Senate Bill 932, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 932, a bill of entitlement, an act authorizing Union County to construct law enforcement and human service facilities using design, build, delivery methods. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Horns recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a companion bill to House Bill 1204, passed 2 weeks ago tonight. This is the Senate version, and I know this is hard to believe, but they actually improved on the fine craftsmanship that I employed in 1204. I know that is hard to believe. This narrows the scope a little bit of the bill, expands the number of bidders from 3 to 5, and sets a specific sunset date. I urgently encourage you to support the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 932 on its second reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 932, having passed the second reading without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 932 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 932, having passed its third reading, will be enrolled. Senate Bill 934, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 934, a bill to entitle an act to permit the Lower Cape Fear Water and Sewer Authority to utilize the design-build method of construction for 14-mile parallel water transmission line within its service area. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Hamilton is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This is a very simple bill. It allows the Lower Cape Fear Water and Sewer Authority to utilize the DOT design build standards for a specific project, which is a 14-mile water line in its district. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is to pass the Senate Bill 934 on second reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 934, having passed the second reading without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 934 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. Senate Bill 934, having passed its third reading, will be enrolled. House will come to order. Representative McGrady accidentally skipped you. House Bill 1215, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 1215, a bill to entitle an act to authorize the Henderson County Board of Commissioners to levy an additional 1% room occupancy and tourism development tax and to make other administrative changes. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative McGray is recognized to explain the bill.
Mr. Speaker, this is a bill sought by the Henderson County Commission. It's standard in all ways to other occupancy tax bills that have come before us and was overwhelmingly supported on second reading, so I urge a positive vote again.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee substitute for House Bill 1215. On its third reading, all those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 80 having voted in favor, 30 against. House Bill 1215 has passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special message. Representative Moore and LaRoche recognized. Committee bill, committee substance, committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Moore, Cleveland, and LaRoche chairs the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 426, a bill to be timed and act to make clarification modifications to the public finance statutes of North Carolina, improvements of various financing structures. Favor report.
Counter. Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, a motion pertaining to tonight's calendar.
The gentleman has the floor.
I move that Senate Bill 426, which was just read in and passed unanimously out of the, out of the House Rules Committee, be added to tonight's calendar for consideration. It is a time-sensitive five-day bill.
Without objection.
Further motion pertaining to tonight's calendar, please.
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose is Lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison?
Point of order.
Lady has the floor.
I'm just wondering, is this the bill that contains the Jordan Lakes rule? Oh, okay.
No.
What purpose, the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren Ross?
Mr. Speaker, I inadvertently voted aye on 1215. Would like to be recorded as voting no.
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Engel from Alamance, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Likewise.
What purpose, the gentleman from Nash, Representative Collins Ross?
I hate to admit it, but I did the same thing.
What purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Weisreis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a point of order, I would appreciate it if the rules chair could please say the names of the bills when he's moving them in the future.
What purpose the gentleman from Orange, Representative Faison-Ross?
To bring balance to the floor, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded as voting aye on 1215.
Okay. Without objection, so ordered. Representative Roque and Moore, Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 900, a bill entitled an act to remove certain prescribed property from the corporate limits of the town of Surf City. Favorable report.
Calendar.
Senate Bill 901, a bill entitled an act to remove the cap on satellite annexations for the town of Ocean Isle Beach. Favorable report.
Calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 949, a bill entitled an act providing that the town of Boone shall not exercise the powers of extraterritorial jurisdiction. Favorable report.
Calendar.
Senate Bill 951, a bill to entitle an act to transfer the Cleveland County Correctional Facility to Cleveland Community College. Favorable report is to the House Committee substitute bill, which changes the title unfavorably to the original bill.
Counter, committee substitute bill, unfavorable to the original bill. Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, motion pertaining to tonight's calendar.
Gentleman has the floor for a motion.
Move that Senate Bill 951, which was just reported in, Cleveland Community Correctional Facility Property Transfer, which also passed unanimously from House Rules, be added to tonight's calendar.
Without objection, for what purpose, and gentlemen? For what purpose, gentlemen? So ordered. The gentleman is recognized for further motion.
Last motion, I promise. Senate Bill 939, which is on the calendar for tonight, Fayetteville Review Board, move that that bill be removed from today's calendar and be calendared for tomorrow.
Without objection. So ordered. Senate Bill 444, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 444, a bill entitled An Act Authorizing Construction and Financing Without Appropriations from the General Fund of Certain Capital Improvement Projects, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 44, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 444 on its third reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110 having voted in favor, one against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 444, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special message. House Bill 989, the clerk will read.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 989, a bill entitled An Act to Limit Eligibility for Permanent Registration Plates to governmental entities and reform the process by which eligible entities apply for and are issued permanent registration plates is recommended by Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Oversight Committee to continue to allow Civil Air Patrols, Incorporated Emergency Rescue Squads, rural fire departments, and local chapters of the American National Red Cross to be eligible for permanent registration plates. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose is the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, right?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. We had a good vote on this, but one member asked that the bill be delayed till tonight, and I would hope that we could move it on.
What purpose is the gentleman from Stanley, Representative Burr, right?
Send forth an amendment.
The members have copies. The clerk will read.
This is Amendment ARW. -63V2, Representative Burr moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 17 through 20 by rewriting those lines to read.
Representative Burr is recognized to explain his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me first say that I do believe that the intent of the bill is very good. There's just one concern that was raised to me by some local providers, non-profit providers who provide services to this state. And as you'll see, this amendment, and work with staff in research and work with PED to make sure that the intent of this bill was kept intact. And the concern was that they were not able to keep up with who was receiving these permanent tags. So we were able to come up with this amendment. And you know, why leave this section in? Well, first off, I would say don't send Medicaid money dollars to DMV. There's no need to do that. These are nonprofits that have a public purpose. These facilities are documented through the Division of Health Services Regulation, so they are documented, and I believe this would be a very good purpose to keep this in. Part of the reason that they were originally struck from or struck in the bill was because they couldn't be documented. They are documented and can be kept up through this division. They have a Medicaid provider number and will have good documentation to verify when folks file for these plates. And you can see that that's what this amendment does. And obviously it's tighter language than before and will provide for better control measures for these plates. And again, said I've worked with PED on this. I spoke with the department about it. I believe this is a good intention. The bill is a good intention, but I believe this tries to correct that and make sure that these nonprofit providers are able to continue to not have to, or not so that they don't have to spend taxpayer dollars and don't have to spend Medicaid dollars to receive these plates annually. And I believe this addresses that issue, and I would ask for the member's support on this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. For what purpose does Representative Starnes from Caldwell rise?
Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Does Representative Burr yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Byrd, do you have an idea of how many plates, permanent plates, can be issued under this provision, with under this amendment?
I have asked, but I don't think that they're sure. I'm sure we could go back and ask the Division of Health Services Regulations how many nonprofits are under there. I'd be glad to get that information for you, but I don't have it in front of me.
has the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, well, what you have in front of you is a policy decision that you're going to have to make. Now, I served on the Program Evaluation Committee when we looked at the issue of permanent plates. And the problem is there are thousands of permanent plates out there, maybe tens of thousands of plates out there, and they're having a hard time having them be accounted for. So what the Program Evaluation Committee decided was, well, we need to limit who is eligible for a permanent plate. And if you look on page 2 of the bill, there's a whole list of organizations and groups that will no longer be eligible to get the permanent license plate. Now, you just have to make a policy decision. Do you want to restrict these plates, or do you want to open it back up? And I don't fault Representative Burr for being responsive to the nonprofits in his community that want to keep their permanent plates. But, I mean, that's the way it got started. A member would offer an amendment and open it back up, then more and more and more private organizations were able to get it. Well, if I had my choice, I want to go back there and let the church buses keep their permanent plates. You know that right now, if your church has a bus, they can get a permanent license plate. Well, the churches are just as important as the other nonprofit groups. But I have agreed that if we're going to change this policy and limit the scope, then we need to start restricting them rather than expanding them. So while I don't fault Representative Burr with what he's wanting to do, if this amendment passes, then we might as well just scrap the bill, because it may not happen this session, but eventually more and more amendments will start coming through and we'll be back to where we are right now. We won't have a handle on it. So not out of any animosity towards Representative Burr, but I'm going to oppose that amendment just because we need to get a handle on how many permanent license plates are being issued.
Representative Jones is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think Representative Burr explained pretty well why this is a good amendment, and I stand in support of it. I did have concerns raised from some of my constituents as well. I think these people are doing good work, and this is a way that we can help them out just a little bit. And I don't think it's going to cost the state very much money, and I commend the amendment to you.
Representative Avila from Wakes recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I, too, speak in favor of this amendment, because if you look, it's kind of a circular movement of money. We take money from our Medicaid budget and give it to the Department of Transportation, because these nonprofits serve basically as de facto state institutions for people that we service, and I would encourage you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Insko from Orange is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I think the key here is the nonprofit agency. We have a lot of agencies that are nonprofits that provide services to these vulnerable populations, all the way from a facility in Orange County called Charles House, which is an adult daycare center where adults who are need care only during the day go, to larger facilities that provide services for children who are mentally ill. And I would be reluctant to do this for every agency. There are many, many agencies, but I think it does help the nonprofit agencies fulfill their mission.
Representative LaRoque is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Following up with Representative Starnes, I too serve on the Program Evaluation Committee, and we had several meetings dealing with these tags, and folks, it is a nightmare in this state. We had, 2,800 tags we couldn't even find. I mean, this is the last thing we need to do is start making exemptions. We spent hours on this stuff. Folks, this is a mistake, because next session, as Representative Starnes said, you're going to have other people coming in to exempt this, that, and the other, and we're going to be right back in the same mess we're in right now. I urge you to vote no.
Representative Cleveland's recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Nonprofits do a good job for us in the state. Nonprofits collect state tax dollars, federal tax dollars, and other dollars. Most nonprofits employees are well paid. The directors are well paid. They're not really lacking for funds. They would like more like everyone else does. And I don't see where having to pay for a license tag is any great burden on a nonprofit. But I do see where before we even pass the bill to restrict license plates, we're opening the door to other agencies and groups to come and plead their case. It's a bad move, and I would hope you'd vote against the amendment.
What purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speak on the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
I'm supporting Representative Burr's amendment. I don't think the issue relies on the 501s or the entities that are applying for a tag. It seems to me that the issue of not being able to track plates, follow plates, squarely lies on the department issuing that plate. So perhaps if we need to work on the follow-up or follow-through and the tracking of those plates, we work at it from the State Department that does the issuing of those plates. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Howard recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I had a conversation with Representative Burr, and I appreciate his courtesies, and I know what he is trying to do, and I respect that. But in the past, I've told about at least seven of you sitting here on the floor tonight, please don't do this, because this is the way that the bill will start to unravel. And Representative Cleveland pointed out the same thing. You aren't going to lose a fire truck that belongs to your county or an emergency vehicle that belongs to your county. These nonprofits may go out of business. And then they have 10 license plates or 20 license plates, and then they're missing. There's nothing that requires these nonprofits, and I know they do good work. I've got one in my county. I spent 4 hours with them the other Saturday trying to explain this to them. And it is. It's a wash through of money, but it's the only way we can continue to do what this bill was intended to do. And the PD, we spent hours on this trying to determine what was right, what was fair. And I just say that there's a lot of nonprofits, and I'm looking at you right now, that came to me weeks ago and said, can I add this? Or what about my church bus? Or what about the transportation bus for the elderly? There's a zillion of them out there. But it has to be, we have to have some type of protection to know who has these plates. And again, Representative Burr, I respect what you're trying to do, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to ask you, don't start unraveling this bill before it's not even passed yet, and we're already starting to unravel it. And I will bet you, as soon as this amendment, if it passes, there's going to be somebody that stands up and asks that the bill be delayed till tomorrow so they can get another amendment drafted. And I don't know what the Senate's going to do. I have no idea. I don't march to their orders. But I'm going to ask you, this is exactly what happened years ago with these permanent plates, and they're out of control. At least let us get it back in a handle on it before we start unraveling the bill. I ask you to vote no.
Representative Burr is recognized to speak a second time on his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just, again, want to emphasize that this amendment will still keep the intent of the bill that is before us. It simply allows for DMV to keep up with who's making the effort.
For what purpose the gentleman from Orange, Leader Hackney, rise?
Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Representative Burr, sure. He yields.
It seems to me it's the exact opposite of the intent of the bill, which is to clamp down on the number of plates that are running around all over the state. Why isn't it the opposite of the impact of the intent of the bill, rather than, as you say, in line with the intent of the bill? That's just wrong, isn't it?
Well, I'm trying to explain to you right now, if you'll listen. It is That is why we work with PED to make sure that they're able to keep up. Part of the problem was the original language that under the general statute was very broad and didn't tie back to any specific Medicaid ID number, didn't tie back to a specific facility, a license to the division. This now makes sure that we have some tie back so we know who they're going for.
Second question.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Heels. Isn't it perfectly apparent that the purpose of the bill is to get rid of the plates for providers like that in the first place?
Well, that's where you have to make a policy decision. I've had a number of folks come up to me, Representative Hackney, who have had concerns, nonprofits who are already concerned about Medicaid and Medicaid dollars who provide services in these group homes. This is simply making sure that although it may be a small amount, for a large provider, it could be a significant amount. And this is making sure that they're not having to take any additional dollars out of services and send those dollars over to DMV. I think this is a good amendment, and I would ask for your support.
Representative Lucas is recognized.
Speak on the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, you have to serve on the Program Evaluation Committee to appreciate the gist of what's trying to be accomplished. We did spend many, many hours researching this problem. And the major concern is that we have several hundreds of plates out there that we cannot verify that they're eligible for permanent status. And once we open the door to exceptions, and I do appreciate the try there, and because I work with nonprofits and I know that they have that need, but it's not going to be a tremendous burden to them, and we are attempting to close this door, so I would urge us to just vote against the amendment.
For purpose of the lady from Wake, Representative Avalorizer.
To speak a second time on the amendment.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The problem we were trying to solve is the fact that we had a very loosely kept record of who we gave tags to. There was no list of who these entities were, willy-nilly, that went down to DMV and bought a tag. We are tying this group of people back up to a state-licensed facility, so they will not have to pay a state-demanded price because we're asking them to take on responsibility of taking care of our Medicaid patients. This, to me, is a very good control method, and it may be one that we need to do somehow with our rural fire departments and the American Red Cross, that we've got a list somewhere that we can always go back to when it comes time to renew or whatever, to make sure that they are in line for a permanent tag. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Amendment A1 offered by Representative Burr on House Bill 989. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed to the amendment will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and recording the vote. 17 having voted in favor, 96 against, the amendment fails. We're back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for House will come to order.
Mr. Speaker, I had a mechanical error. I asked to be recorded as no on that previous vote.
I'm afraid to ask, was the gentleman actually in the chamber? Was the rules chairman in the chamber?
Just barely, but yes.
Okay. So ordered. Question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 989 on its third reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in favor, 3 against. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 989, having passed its third reading, will be engrossed and sent to the Senate by special message. For what purpose is it?
I accidentally pushed the wrong button. Can I be recorded as voting yes?
On the bill?
On the bill.
So ordered. Representative Faison's?
Unfortunately, me too. On the bill, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose delay from Nash? Representative Bryant rise.
I to be recorded as voting yes, Mr. Speaker.
And Representative Parfit, what purpose do you rise?
Ditto.
So ordered. House Bill 953, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 953, bill has been found an act to make clarifying, conforming, and technical amendments to various laws related to environment and natural resources, as recommended by the Environmental Review Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Members, Representative Gillespie has informed the chair that he intends to object to third reading on this bill.
Mr. Speaker, I think we're changing our minds on that. I'm going to hear it second and third.
Representative Gillespie is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, what you have before you is a technical corrections bill, and I'm going to go over the sections here so that I'm not asked to do that later on after saying there's nothing in here but purely technical, so I'm going to go over it with you. So you'll find out that it's purely technical. In sections 1 and 6, all we're doing there is removing a reference to an expired commission. In section 2, all we're doing there is codifying section 5, which requires an annual report to the ERC dealing with the 2011 terminal groin legislation. Section 3 is just making some conforming changes to the solid waste statutes from the 2006-2007 session. Section 4 is just changing the title of Part 2. Section 5A and 5B is codifying substantial provisions dealing with the Eco Enhancement Program. Section 7 is just amending an incorrect statutory reference. Section 8 is an update of statutory reporting requirements that reflects some restructuring in our committee processes. And Section 9 is just removing a reference to West North Carolina Public Lands Council, which was transferred from the Department of Environment in 2010 and was renamed. And with that, Mr. Speaker, be happy to answer any questions. But like I said, all of these are purely technical environmental corrections, and ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose the gentleman from Ash, Representative Jordan, rise?
Inquiry of the bill sponsor.
Does Representative Gillespie yield?
I yield, Mr.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Gillespie. I missed Section 10. What is this?
We had Section 9. Section 10 here, I'm sorry. Section 10 here is not on my bill summary. That's why I missed that.
It's on the one on the electronics.
It looks to me... it looks to me that all it is a technical correction on the date of one of the sections in the Federal Regulation Code, and it's just adding a date there for April 1st, 2010 edition of that Federal Regulations Code.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute on House Bill 953 on its second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in favor, 1 against. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 953 having passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 953 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Committee Substitute on House Bill 953 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate by special message. Senate Bill 699, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 699, a bill to be entitled an act declared by the name of the Division of Criminal Information to allow the Division of Criminal Information to promulgate rules for uses of the Criminal Information Network to allow the Division of Criminal Information to assess fees or set up access to and use of the Criminal Information Network to recodify the existing Superior Court districts using 2010 geography and to allow sharing of confidential investigatory information between the State Ethics Commission and the Legislative Ethics Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Representative Stams recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I put the committee summary on your desk. The first section, which was the original Senate bill, is a name change and function change, but not controversial. I hope none of this is controversial. The second section relates to the districts for Superior Court, and because of this, I'm going to object myself to third reading so you can just satisfy yourself. It doesn't change anybody's district lines or any judge's terms or affect any election in 2012. What it does is change those maps and statutes, some of which date from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and just convert them into voter tabulation districts so that we can have proper elections in the future using these voter tabulation districts. And there are 10 split counties, and staff has run these changes by people in those districts just to see if there were any issues, and we think all the issues have been resolved. The final section of the bill is a unanimous recommendation by the Joint Legislative Ethics Committee to allow the Legislative Ethics Committee to obtain information from the State Ethics Committee when the State Ethics Committee refers a case to the Joint Legislative Ethics Committee for action. And we've had difficulty for lack of legislative authority to get that information. So knowing that I'm going to object to third reading so you can check out those maps and those districts if you feel you need to, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Further, what purpose does the gentleman from Jackson, Representative Hare, rise?
Just a quick question from Representative Stam.
Representative Stam, yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Stam, I noticed that in looking at the original bill, this is information that used to be collected by the Attorney General's office. Now, is this DCI, is that going to be under the Department of Justice, under the Attorney General's office also?
I don't know the answer to that, but this is the Senator's fine part. And by the way, my general practice is to ask the senators for permission to put things on their bills. And you'll remember that this came out of our committee unanimously, and I think Representative Blazer actually knows the answer to your question. Is that right?
Does Representative yield? Representative Blazer yield from a question from Representative Hare?
Yes. Did you hear the question I propounded to Representative Tam?
I do yield.
He yields.
And I think that the bill analysis indicates that it's going to remain in the division under the, as you suggest, but as reconstituted.
Representative Samerson is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to alleviate any of the concerns from Mecklenburg. There was some question because ours was one of the ones that was recorded differently. To my understanding, all of the judges and the people in Mecklenburg that were consulted about this say we now have it correct. They may want to make changes when it does come time to actually change the lines, but the lines as they are in here have been verified to be correct.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 699 on its second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in favor, one against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 699 have passed its second reading without objection.
Objection.
Will remain on the counter. Senate Bill 804, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 804, bill to entitle an act to make technical conforming changes to statutes affecting the state retirement system. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Moffitt is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is an agency bill that comes to us from the Treasurer's Office. It has already been worked over pretty well in the Senate side. It cleared the Senate Committee on Pensions, Aging, and Retirement. It came over to us unanimously supported by the Senate. It went to our State Personnel Committee, came out of that. There is no known opposition. There are 12 sections to it. Upon the request of any member here, I will go through that. If not, ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose is the lady from Lake, Representative Weiss?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman yield for a question?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Moffitt, I would find it helpful if you could go through the bill for us, please.
Sure. These are conforming, clarifying, and technical changes. Section 1 clarifies that the death benefit payments must be consecutive. Section 2 shortens the period for employees of new units joining the local government employees retirement system to opt out. Section 3 is to include actuarial reports and plan documentation for IRS compliance. Section 4 moves dormant sick leave provision and statute to enhance clarity. Section 5 conforms statutes to new federal law on required minimum distributions. Section 6 simplify administration of survivors' alternate benefit. Section 7 clarify definition of a full-time teacher. Section 8 conforms statutes to federal law on retirement trust funds. Section 9 removes archaic membership provisions. Section 10 make law enforcement retirement date parallel that of general employees. Section 11 clarify quorum provisions for retirement boards of trustees. And Section 12 corrects an inaccurate reference to retiree health benefit fund.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose is the gentleman from Person, Representative Wilkins, rise?
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill.
Thanks, sir. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill got scrubbed pretty well in State Personnel Committee, and Representative McGee, I believe we brought it out of there unanimously. But if it sets you at ease, it did get a good scrubbing in State Personnel. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 804 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, none against. Senate Bill 804 having passed the second reading without objection will be read a third time.
Chairman Smith, North Carolina, next.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 804 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 804, having passed its third reading, will be enrolled and sent to the governor by special message. Senate Bill 815, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 815, a bill to entitle an act initiating reform of the workforce development laws of North Carolina, modifying the composition of the North Carolina Commission on Workforce Development, and establishing the Joint Legislative Workforce Development System Reform Committee, as recommended by the Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Oversight Committee, based on recommendations from the Program Evaluation Division. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Howard is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. Again, this is another bill that came from the Program Evaluation Division, and I remind the members that we fund about $1.4 billion, and about half of that is through our general fund for workforce development. And I will tell you briefly what this bill does. The bill enacts portions only of the PED report and recommends modification of some of the existing laws and structures to create a more accountable system for workforce development. At the local service delivery area, the system is improved by encouraging, and I use that word encouraging, the realignment of the 23 local workforce development areas. Secondly, improving the JobLink Career Center charters and agreements to better have cooperation between all of those groups. And thirdly, directing the Department of Commerce to convene the program administrators to develop plans for a common web-based intake system. At the state level system, this bill will improve by strengthening the Commission on Workforce Development so it can better provide an effective statewide system, and reducing the commission membership from 38 members to 25 members, and eliminating the Workforce Initiative Program for which funding has ended. Again, I would ask for your support on this bill, and I'll be glad to try to answer any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is passed. Senate Bill 815 on second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, 1 against. Senate Bill 815 having passed the second reading without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 815 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 815, having passed its third reading, will be enrolled and sent to the governor by special message. Senate Bill 426, the clerk will yield. Pages, as he's reading this bill, I'd like for you to start making your way forward so that you can be introduced. Senate Bill 426, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 426, a bill to be entitled an act to make clarifications and modifications to the public finance statutes of North Carolina for the improvement of various financing structures in the terms and provisions of the financial structures, and to authorize a resolution establishing a municipal service district to become effective upon a date specified in the resolution if special obligation bonds are anticipated to be authorized for a project. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Ross is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill got a unanimous favorable report out of the Finance Committee, and it would make changes to the bond statutes designed to improve their efficiency. In particular, it would make it so a pre-audit certificate is not required if the local government commission has approved of the issuance, and the local government commission is the statewide real scrutiny for bond authorization. And then it also allows issuers to do bond applications and bond orders at the same time, but it still requires the same public hearing. And then the new provision that was added in the Finance Committee would authorize a resolution establishing a municipal service district to become effective upon the date specified in the resolution, as opposed to July 1st. The current law says that you have to wait until the next fiscal year. This would allow it to go into effect earlier, but it would not allow any new taxing authority to go into effect earlier, just the resolution. And I am happy to answer any questions. I commend the bill to you.
Representative Setzer is recognized to speak on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? For what purposes? Further discussion, further debate? Hearing none, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 426 on its second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 426, having passed the second reading, will remain on the calendar. Members, it's now our honor to have the clerk read our pages and their names today. Pages, as your name is read, please step forward and raise your left hand, please. The clerk will read.
Taylor Alderman, Forsyth County. Kristen Alderman, Forsyth. Sally Allen, Wake. Carly Allen, Person. Samantha Bailey, Guilford. Madeline Bankson, New Hanover. Summer Blackwelder, Cabarrus. Margaret Coleman, Sampson. Betsy Reed Creech, Wake. Paula Crisp, Wake. Ashley Hines, Richmond. Cameron Jernigan, Hereford. Bailey Jones, Mecklenburg. Samuel Jones, Guilford. Michael Knutson, Wayne. Mary Lebner, Richmond. Owen Levy, Gaston. Shirley Marshall, Wake. Derek McNeil, Moore. Peter Ojo, Cumberland. Meredith Ratledge, Davy. Leah Ruffin, Wake. Margaret Swaim, Wake. Anna Wallace, Stanley. Jessica White, Davy. Philip Ray, Northampton.
Pages, thank you for your service this week to the General Assembly. It should be a very exciting week. We hope that you learned a lot about your state government. You may now return to your stations. The page clerk is instructed to release the pages at 9 o'clock. Senate Bill 951, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 951, a bill to entitle an act to transfer the Cleveland County Correctional Facility to Cleveland Community College and to amend the definition of a historic ABC establishment. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Moore is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill that I know of has no objection. This allows a transfer of property of an abandoned prison that closed to the Cleveland Community College. Our local delegation's all in agreement. The county commissioners and the community college board all work this out, and it'll put this building to use. The second provision clarifies and updates the definition of a historic ABC establishment. It was necessary. There was a technical issue with the Esmeralda Inn is the particular issue, and so I would urge the body support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Starnes is recognized to speak on the bill.
Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Does Representative Moore yield?
Always to the gentleman from Caldwell.
He yields.
Thank you. I'm looking at the unconstitutional alcohol provision that you've got in here. And
was that a question, Representative Starnes?
It will be.
Okay. The gentleman has the floor.
Well, we haven't seen any of these in a little while, but you're expanding the definition of a historic ABC district, so, and you said it's the Esmeralda Inn. So what do they have, a garage or an outbuilding or something that they're trying to get covered?
No, the Esmeralda Inn is a historic inn located in Rutherford County. I believe it's in Chimney Rock. And it's designed, it's one of the properties that has been restored largely through the efforts of Preservation North Carolina, and is an active inn and hotel and restaurant, and this was requested by the local area, and all of us in the local area consent to it. But of course, any time, as you know, that you do anything affecting ABC, it always has statewide. But this was drafted to be very narrow in its context, and that's why it's drafted the way it is.
But one follow-up question, then.
I do.
Well and my question is sincere, but we have ABC historical districts. So what is it about this inn that makes them ineligible to qualify under the existing language?
They had closed for some period of time and then reopened. That was the issue. The property had gotten into some disrepair and has since been fully restored and is now a show place. But that, as I understand, Representative Arms, was the issue that it had closed for a period of time.
Thank you. Representative Bowles is recognized to speak on the bill.
I ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does Representative Moore yield?
Always my favorite representative from Moore County.
He yields.
Thank you. Mr. Rule. Is stated administered by the Historic Preservation Foundation North Carolina. Is this going to be for all of their properties?
No, it has to be a contributing structure or under the protective covenants of historic preservation agreement. So, and the historic, as I understand, the covenants contemplate the usage of the property. You couldn't just, for example, have a house and do it. It has to be under the protective covenants that it would be either an inn or hotel or restaurant. It has to meet all the other qualifications.
Okay, again, just a follow-up. This gentleman have a follow-up. He yields.
Because when I called the historic preservation, and that has a potential of affecting 70 pieces of property, is this still?
I'll be glad if you'd like to object to third. I'll object to third if that would satisfy the question, and we'll get an answer to that tomorrow. Is that satisfactory to you?
That'll be fine. And one follow-up? The
gentleman, he yields.
And the particular site, is it in a municipality, and have they had a referendum?
It's in Rutherford County, and my good friend Representative Hager can probably speak to that. Again, I'm just trying to help our senator who represents both counties with this bill, but I'd rather Representative Hager answer that because that falls in his House district, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bowles, would you like to ask Representative Hager a question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, Representative Hager.
Representative Hager, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
Is this particular piece of property in a municipality, and have they had a referendum, or is it wet or dry?
It is. It is in Chimney Rock municipality, and they have not had a referendum. It's easy for you to say, and it is a dry city, town.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Collins is recognized.
I'd like to speak briefly on the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Having enjoyed several times with my wife staying at the Esmeralda Inn, which was a wonderful place to stay and also to eat. It had some really fine gourmet cooking there before it burned down, which is what closed it at least the first time. I'd certainly love to see that property, if it's been restored, I'm happy for that. Love to see it open again and love to do anything we can to cooperate with. It's a great draw to that particular part of the mountains.
Representative Starnes is recognized for a second time to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'll be short. But, folks, we've been down this road before. We have provisions in the law whereby municipalities can allow the sale of alcoholic beverages. But what happens is we have creative legislators that come down here and they draft bills to circumvent the will of the people. And it's just bad business. Provisions like this, when they have been challenged in court, have been ruled to be unconstitutional. And you probably thought I was joking when I asked him a question about the unconstitutional provision. But it's clearly unconstitutional. Now, who's going to shoulder the expense to take it to court? Probably nobody. But we know what's right and what's wrong. So, folks, I just wish that we would say no to unconstitutional laws and that we will vote no on this bill until they're willing to take this provision out and pass the part on the other part that is not objectionable. But there's a way to pass alcohol access in a community. It's by a vote of the people. And when we circumvent it, it's just bad public policy. So I encourage you to vote no.
Representative Sam's recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. It's been about 6 years since we passed one of these unconstitutional local bills that violate Article 2, Section 24J of the North Carolina Constitution. And I would compliment Speaker Hackney for putting in the rules a few years ago that amendments that are clearly unconstitutional are out of order. This isn't an amendment. It's in the bill, but it's clearly unconstitutional, and I can't vote for it.
Further discussion, further debate.
If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 951. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. Twenty-five having voted in favor. 86 against. The bill fails on second reading and will not be need to be objected to on third. Representative Lauer, conference report. The clerk will read.
To the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 828, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the unemployment insurance laws. The conference recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Representative Russo Chair, Senator Russo chairs, Senator Fletcher Hartzell and Senator Harry Brown, conference of the House of Representatives, Representative Howard Chair, Representative Setzer and Starnes.
Calendar.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stamp, what purpose do you rise?
For a motion.
The gentleman has the floor for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, having voted on the prevailing side on Senate Bill 951, I move that we reconsider the vote by which that failed at second reading. I'd like to speak on that.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion to reconsider.
Mr. Speaker, the sponsor tells me he will move to amend to take out Section 4. And so if we reconsider that, put it down at the bottom of the calendar, he can prepare his amendment and we can get the good parts of the bill through.
What purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Hackney Rice?
Make a motion.
The gentleman has the floor.
I move that that motion to lie upon the table.
Second.
Motion that the earlier motion lie upon the table is of higher precedent and has been seconded. The question before the House is the motion by Representative Hackney that the motion by Representative Stamm lie upon the table. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. All those opposed to that motion will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Is that? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 48 having voted in favor, 64 against. The motion to lie upon the table has failed, and Representative Stamm's motion is back before us. Further discussion, further debate. Representative Moore is recognized.
Thank you. I would ask members to vote yes on this motion. The plan tomorrow would be to simply run an amendment to get this out of there. As I said, this is what happens when you run a bill for somebody else, you know. So anyway, there you go.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hackney, I'm afraid to call on you.
It's not dangerous. It's okay.
Representative Hackney, you have the floor. What purpose do you rise?
Speak on the motion. The
gentleman has the floor.
I'd like to paraphrase what Representative Moore has just said and change it a little bit. This is what happens when you run a bill in committee with insufficient committee attention, inadequate staff attention to the bill. You bring it to the floor and you put it on the floor the same night it came out of committee. Before people know about it, except just a few people like us who are on the Rules Committee, that's what happens. And that's why you ought not to vote for this motion. This mess needs to slow down.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the motion by Representative Stamm to reconsider House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 951. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 68, 67 having voted in favor, 44 against. The motion to reconsider is passed. Representative Moore, the bill's back on the counter. Representative Moore is recognized.
Move that the bill be removed from tonight's calendar. It's jinxed tonight. Put on for tomorrow night's calendar. Or tomorrow afternoon's calendar.
Excuse me. Without objection.
So objection.
The motion by Representative Moore to put Senate Bill 951 on the counter for tomorrow has been objected to.
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose is the gentleman from Orange representing?
I withdraw that.
Noted. Motion being withdrawn. What purpose is the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas Russ?
A question of privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was indeed gratified to read in the media this morning a very satisfying article pertaining to the Montford Point Marines. I'm sure that Representatives Hall and Cleveland could appreciate this also. If you're not familiar with the Montford Point Marines, it was an all-black Marine unit that was stationed in a peninsula in the New River in the eastern part of North Carolina, and they served in World War II. They never did receive strong recognition, though they had outstanding service. Unlike the Tuskegee Airmen or the 555 Triple Nickels, they still are waiting to be commended. One of those Marines is from Cumberland County, James Simpson. He's 88 years old, and he's scheduled to be commemorated on Wednesday, along with about 400 additional of those who are still survivors.
House will come to order. Representative Lucas has the floor.
Out of about 20,000 of these Marines who served in World War II, only about 420 still are alive, and about 400 of them are scheduled to be in Washington on Wednesday of this week to receive the Congressional Gold Medal. I thought you'd need to know that they're from North Carolina, or stationed in North Carolina.
Special message with the Senate. Clerk will read.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 180. A bill to entitle an act to voluntary annex certain described areas to the corporate limits of the city of Wilmington.
Rules.
Committee substitute for House Bill 964, a bill to entitle an act to create the North Carolina Longitudinal Data System and Governing Board and to provide the private college universities, non-public schools, and North Carolina Independent College University not liable for breach of confidentiality caused by the act or mission of the state agency.
Counter.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1096, a bill to be entitled an act to save money by repealing a statute requiring local school administrative units, community colleges, and the University of North Carolina to have separate bids for juice and water.
Counter.
Senate Bill 876, a bill to be entitled an act to remove a certain described tract from the corporate limits of the town of Mooresville at the request of the town board of commissioners.
Rules. Committee reports. Representative Moore and LaRoque, Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Clerk will read.
Representative Moore, Cleveland, and LaRoque chairs the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 821, a bill to entitle an act to direct the Director of the Division of Marine Fisheries of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, the Executive Director of the Wildlife Resource Commission, the Deputy Secretary of Transit of the Department of Transportation and jointly study fees associated with the issuance of coastal fishing license and numbering of the title of vessels. Favor reports the House Committee Substitute Bill, which changes the title. Unfavor reports the Senate Committee Substitute Bill.
Counter. House Committee Substitute Bill, which changes the title. Unfavorable to Senate Committee Substitute Bill. Unfavorable to counter. Senate Bill 382.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 382, a bill to entitle an act to require withholding of income taxes from sales of real property and associated tangible personal property by non-residents. favor reports the House Committee Substitute Bill, which changes the title on favor list to the Senate Committee Substitute Bill.
Calendar, House Committee Substitute Bill changes the title Senate Committee Substitute Bill, unfavorable to original calendar. Representative LeBrogue.
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 40 years ago, in my hometown, Miss Kinston, Connie Dorn was crowned Miss North Carolina. Well, history repeated itself on Saturday night when Ollie Honeycutt, Miss Kinston, Lenoir County, became Miss North Carolina. Not only the folks in Kinston, Lenoir County proud, but folks in Wake County will be proud as well because she's a native of Garner and is also a rising junior at East Carolina and will be competing for the Miss America pageant in January out in Las Vegas. And so I just want to make sure this body knows that we've got some very bright and talented young ladies in Eastern North Carolina, and just wanted to recognize that. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ross, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thrilled that Representative LaRocque also shared with you that Ms. Honeycutt is from Garner, and I just want to remind you that Garner is tied with Fayetteville as having the most Miss North Carolinas that have ever come out from a town, and we're very, very proud to have yet another great Garner citizen do a great thing.
Notices announcement.
Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Speaker?
What purpose, the gentleman from Jackson, Representative Harris?
Would Representative LaRocque yield for a question?
Certainly.
He yields.
If I recall, the only Miss America that ever came from North Carolina came from Asheville, North Carolina. Is that your recollection?
I'm sorry, Representative here. I don't remember that.
Thank you. That's up in the West.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Representative Eilers recognized for notice announcement.
For announcement, the House Transportation Committee will meet at noon tomorrow in our usual room, 6:43.
Further notice of announcements, Clerk will read.
The Finance Committee will meet tomorrow at 8:30 in room 544. The Insurance Committee will meet tomorrow at 1 p.m. in 1228, 1327 of the Legislative Building. And the Elections Committee will meet tomorrow at 11 in 425 of the LOB.
Further notices and announcements. Representative LaRocque's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, subject to ratification of bills, messages from the Senate, committee reports, conference reports, referral of bills and resolutions, and in memory of Lewis Marvin Speer, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene on Tuesday, June 26th at 2 p.m.
Representative LaRocque moves, seconded by Representative Starnes, that the House adjourn to reconvene on Tuesday, June 26th at 2 p.m. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned. Guys.
Representative Tim Moore moves pursuant to 39.2, Senate Bill 905 from calendar 36B and re-referred to the Committee on Rules. And House Bill 1073 is removed from Health and Human Services and referred to the Committee on Rules.